Sometimes people are unsure about showing up in online spaces with the value that they have to share with the world, but I always encourage you to do so because when you show up online to add value to others, you create the biggest possible opportunity to make a difference with the world.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. How's it going, my friends? I'm excited because yours truly has finally added another offering to the wonderful mission of helping you to advance further in life, known as the Going North Advancement Compass. This new book is a success journal. It is the fulfillment field guide for your success. So if you want a method to crack the code on how to be a good day architect, then pick up this wonderful book right here on Amazon.com. And we're going to put a link to that in the wonderful show notes. That way you can check it out like a library book, my friends. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth, going strong today, like 8-pack abs, known as podmatch.com. The wonderful cyber podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers, y'all, because today's featured guest is an award-winning bookcaster, y'all, because she's not only wrote a wonderful book, she's also a fellow podcast host on top of that. And not only that, she's also a magical mom, a wonderful wife, event facilitator, keynote speaker, distance runner, and the founder, y'all, the founder. She found something. She's the founder and CEO of her wonderful company known as Weaving Influence. Let's give it up for the brilliant and radiant Becky Robinson. How you doing today, Becky?
I am doing great. Thank you so much, Dom. It's absolutely fun to be here.
Woohoo! Sweet. Fun to be here. As they say, fun on the bun. Ha ha! That's what I'm talking about indeed. Okay, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 10,000 days long, and I probably only covered, I don't know, metaphorically 10 minutes of what makes Becky the wonderful Becky that she is. So my feeling is set on how you became the fabulous lady that you are today.
Well, so you and I were catching up before we pressed that shiny record button about the fact that I was born in Baltimore, Maryland, which is where you live, which is kind of cool. That's a fun connection. So I started Weaving Influence after staying home with my kiddos for about 8 years. And I was looking for a way to create a job that would give me some flexibility so that I could both do some meaningful revenue producing work and be flexible to spend time with my kids. And what I thought would be just like a solo business consulting authors about their marketing efforts turned into a full agency, because what I found is that the authors who are coming to me for support didn't just need consulting and strategy. They really needed hands-on support to execute their marketing plans. So that is why I built my company. And about 10 years in, I decided that I would put some of my ideas and thoughts into a book, which I did. And my book came out in 2022, which seems like forever ago now. I'm already thinking about follow-up projects to my book. So I guess that's a little bit about how I got to be here today, Dom.
Woohoo! Straight indeed. Ha ha! Sweet. As I'm talking about indeed. And the good news is you even read your own book too, which is a bonus. It's one of those Becky bonuses.
Yes, narrating my book was a lot of fun. Partly because as an author, when you write a book, sometimes you like put it away and you forget about what you wrote. And so when I went through the process of recording the audiobook, it gave me a chance to reconnect with what I had previously done, the work. And what I found, and I was kind of surprised, is that I actually liked it. So recording the audiobook was a good reminder that I had created a lot of value, and it gave me a lot of excitement leading up to the launch of the book. Now I probably need to go back and read it again.
Oh yeah, that's right indeed. Cause shoot, 2022, 3 years, so yeah, make a fifth anniversary edition down the road if you so choose.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a follow-up. So my book is Reach, Create the Biggest Possible Audience for Your Message, Book, or Cause. And I've gotten really curious lately about writing a book called Reach Beyond Your Lifetime. And the idea there would be for
Ooh.
those folks who might be toward the end of their careers, how can they ensure that their thought leadership and legacy outlast them? And in what way can they create an online presence or other like trails of their best ideas so that people could continue to learn from them, you know, far into the future? So obviously for people who are like classic authors like Stephen Covey, you know, he passed on, but Seven Habits of Highly Effective People still is a book that makes an impact. Or, you know, other books, you know, obviously we're still reading Shakespeare and Charles Dickens and all of that. So the question would be for regular everyday people who may not be famous, whose work might not endure otherwise, how can we offer up our ideas in a way that can reverberate across the generations potentially?
There we go. One of those favorite things I love to say, basically the business of immortality. That's right, D. That's right. Make sure the legacy's got some legs and it keeps on running. Distance running, if you will.
Sure. Exactly.
There you go. I guess in this case, an ultra marathon, huh? Like one of them really big ones, metaphorically.
The longest distance I ever ran was a 50K, which is considered an ultra marathon, but I wasn't like in an organized race. I organized it myself for my 50th birthday. And I don't know if I aspire to do another length that's longer than a marathon. That's some serious intense stuff there.
Yes, it is.
Are you a runner, yes. Dom?
No. No. It's a great activity to keep yourself in shape. It's like, yeah, good for endurance and everything, but it's like, oh, God, no.
You might be surprised. It can be addictive.
Oh, I can imagine. I've met a few runners. I've met a couple ultra marathon runners who've actually did 100-mile races before, and I was like, okay, all right, I am a lower human today meeting y'all. Like, all right, 100 miles, someone's done it twice, like, okay, all right, they are really into it.
If I'm running 100 miles, it's probably across a month's time, not in one single race.
That's true. You probably did 100 miles easy by this point. Over all your races and everything all together.
Oh, I've run thousands of miles. I think my biggest month was 178 miles.
Oh, shoot. There we go.
I think my biggest year was like 1,300 miles.
Ah, there we go. Getting them football numbers like a running back. 1,300. You love to see it. Well, since we're talking about running, I'm not sure how recovery's been for you, but has there been a time where you went on a run and you had this huge, super special, awesome idea that helped you to amp up your business?
Oh, that's a really great question, Dom. I think that running is a great time to set my creativity loose. I'm not sure about any like big ideas I had running apart from my book. So I would often, especially like during the pandemic, I would go running with some friends, some women, and we'd meet really early in the morning. And I can remember talking through my ideas for my book with my running partners. And then one day I went out on a run because I was really stumped on the title for my book. And as I was running, I got some ideas for titles and I would stop and text the ideas to my husband. And that was actually where the idea to call my book Reach came from, because we were playing around with one word titles.
Yeah.
And I was running one day and the word Reach came to my mind, and I can still picture where I was. It was in this neighborhood that I often run in. It was springtime, like maybe, well, it might've been actually like winter into spring, like February, March. And there was a tree on the corner and I stopped and I took a picture of the tree and I texted the word Reach to my husband. So that was a pretty powerful moment. But as far as like business ideas, I'm more likely, Dom, to like run out the stress of the work rather than to have a bunch of new ideas come. My new ideas come in the shower.
There you go. There you go.
It's like after the run is over and you're like, you know, unwinding, that's when the creativity spills.
There you go. And I guess they go on the phone, I'm assuming, instantly before you forget
well,
them.
Yeah, so sometimes they do, capturing those notes.
Yeah, but hey, still better than one of them middle of the night ideas where it's like, oh, this is great. Yeah, I should probably write this down. I'm too tired. I'll try again in a few hours to write it down later. Yeah, it's all missing.
Sounds like you have experience with that one.
Oh, it's happened. I even had some dreams I forgot, and then they come back later as deja vu. It's like, oh, whoops. I guess I respawned here. So my goodness. So sounds like you've been in business, shoot, close to 15 years at this point, right? Was it 2012?
It was, so the official start date that I use is June 1st, 2012. So we're coming up on 13 years. Although I did really start serving clients in about 2011, I didn't full-time work in the business until June of 2012. So I have been out in online spaces since 2009. That's when I started to grow my Twitter account, which, you know, I no longer use that platform, but that was where I really started with using social media marketing and building a brand. And that, yes, that does go back 16 years now, all the way back to 2009.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. So what have been some of your keys to your longevity?
Hey, that's a great question, Dom. I think that one of the keys is really having a purpose that's bigger than yourself. And especially as it relates to building my company, of course, there are days or moments where, you know, I might get discouraged or think I might want to quit. But because I'm invested in the team and the people that I'm working with, you know, not only the team, my employees, but also my clients, you know, part of the longevity is you just show up day after day after day. And before you know it, 15 years have gone by, right? So it's that purpose bigger than myself that drives me to keep showing up. Those important relationships and the difference that I want to make in the world by providing value to others. So I think that longevity happens when you make a commitment, and longevity is like one of the commitments that I talk about in my book. You know, if you want to make a difference in the world with your book or your idea or the cause that you're trying to fuel, you have to know that it's going to take a long time. Nothing great happens overnight. So of course there are those overnight sensations on social media or people that go viral, but the lasting impact requires showing up over a lasting period of time.
A lasting period of time indeed. Yeah, it's crazy how time flies. It was like year 2012 and you're like, oh, that was probably like 3 years ago. Like, nope. Actually, that was not 3 years ago. I had a few more years. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, so for me, I have like these visual reminders all the time of how much time has gone by, because when I first started my company, my youngest daughter was in preschool. And I remember I'd like have work calls and sometimes she'd be trying to get past the babysitter to get into my office. Well, now she's 18 years old, right? So I know that 2012 wasn't a couple years ago, because I can see from the toddler who once was chasing me around to the grown adults that time keeps on passing.
That's right, indeed. Keeps on passing, indeed. Keeps on passing, indeed. So, my goodness. Speaking of shoot passing, probably been passing metaphorical mics with your wonderful podcast, because your fellow podcast host too. So what would you consider your top three lessons learned from starting, growing, and running your magical show?
Well, that is such a great question, Dom. Thanks for asking it. So I'd say the first lesson is your vision of how something's going to end up is not always the actual like living out of it. So when I first started my show, Dom, I thought I would just do these like short episodes and just talk to myself, basically, you know, share my ideas.
Yep.
And boy, did I ever hate that. If you go back and listen to any of the early episodes of my show, they were short, maybe 5-10 minutes. And you'll notice there's only a few episodes like that that were solo, because I very quickly found out that I was not wanting to show up to record to an empty room. There is joy in, you know, including others. And so once I started interviewing guests, I found that the show was so much more joyful. So that would be like lesson number one of like how you envision something is not always how it turns out. You know, you might discover along the way, you know, what actually works for you. Let's see. Another lesson from doing my show is also a lesson I talk about in my book, which is that content is such a malleable asset that we create. So, you know, it's so important as far as efficiency goes and longevity goes to find ways to repurpose the content that we create. So, Dom, just like I know you put your show on multiple platforms. Did I read like 21 plus platforms? And, you know, we've got the audio and we have the video. You know, you can take the content that you create in a podcast and you can repurpose and reshape it in so many ways. So my team will do blog articles that are inspired by the show, or they'll do a carousel post on LinkedIn or on Instagram that brings out the key lessons from our guests. They'll do graphics, they'll do videos, they'll do audiograms. And the more we can take the content that we've created and repurpose and reuse it over time, the more likely we are to grow an audience from that content. So there's a lesson. You know, here's an unexpected lesson from the podcast. You know, when I think I've had 135 maybe guests on the show across six seasons, well, we're about to start our sixth season. And, you know, there are some certain guests that stand out in different ways. You know, maybe they stand out because what they had to share was so useful to my audience, or maybe they stand out because I really, you know, felt a relational connection with that guest. But I'll never forget this guest that I had. Her name is Mary O'Donohue. And not long after I had Mary on my show, I got the most gorgeous flowers I've ever received in my entire life that were delivered. And not only did I get flowers from Mary, but she matched them to the cover of my book. Ooh. And there were so many stems that I divided it into two and I gave half the bouquet to a friend to brighten up her day. And that was just like, that lesson of like, what would it take to like wow the host of the show that you were on? And for me, I was totally wowed by Mary and her generous gift of flowers that matched my book cover. You know, I loved Mary anyhow. I felt like she was the kind of person I could, you know, go on a road trip with or have a 3-hour dinner just, you know, talking. So those relational connections that we find along the way as we host a show are pretty significant and meaningful. So there you go. Three lessons from my time hosting my show.
Three good ones indeed. Three good ones indeed. That's right, D. It's always great. Some good old hospitality from the guests, too. You'll love to freaking see it. It's like, alrighty. It's like you went to a temple to provide a sacrifice. You didn't even need to, because this ain't that type of party. It's just sharing content here.
Yes.
That's right, indeed. And definitely, content is definitely malleable on top of that, too. You're so right about that. Like, it's just crazy how, like, just the fact that, yeah, you can create so many pieces of content for one piece of content like this, and then you can just reshare it even years on end, and folks will still be like, my God, I didn't know you had Becky Robson on your show, man. I freaking love her book, Reach, man. It's like, yeah, this interview was, 6 months ago. Like, oh, yeah. Whoops. Oh, well. But yeah, I got to check this out like a library book. That's right, D. That's right, D. Yeah, I can imagine you got bored with the solo episodes because I think you're an extrovert, right?
Can you tell that already? Yes.
She's like, dang gummit, these walls aren't smiling or talking back or saying amen or nothing. Like, this is bad. Like, all right, I got to do something here. Hold on, let me do the podcast guest thing. Yeah, there we go. That'll be a lot better.
Yeah, I love the whole guest thing. It's pretty fun.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, so with the fabulous book, Reach, freaking just about 3 years and counting removed from it, and it's been making waves and helping out so many folks, and now you got a couple more projects coming after it. Like, my goodness, how does it feel now that you're basically focusing on newer projects and then you still have to come on shows and folks remind you of your past work. It's like, oh, I did say that in my book, didn't I?
Well, you know, I think that when you write a book, you really want to be what a friend once said, married to the message. And my book does continue to share a lot of value, especially with the clients that we serve at Weaving Influence. One of the things I do, Dom, is anytime anybody fills out a form on my website, you know, wanting to have a meeting to talk about our services, the first thing I do is offer them a free copy of my book. So every week I'm signing copies of my book and sending them out to people who, you know, may or may not hire me. But I have found that my book is a really great way to help people very quickly get to know what I value and very quickly get to know my areas of expertise. So I don't mind at all continuing to talk about it because the content is still useful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that said, with some new projects on the horizon, you know, I'll have to decide and choose, you know, how much time to spend on those projects. I am working on a book right now with a couple of co-authors. It's called Beyond the Politics of Contempt, Practical Steps for Building Practical Steps to Build Positive Relationships in Divided Times. And I decided to participate in that project when I woke up the day after the election and I was feeling exceedingly troubled and disappointed. And I don't want to get political on your show, Dom. I have no idea where you stand. But what
Everybody
I was wanting.
Sucks.
All right. Well, what I was wanting is to find a way to make a difference in the world, particularly about topics that are important to me, like kindness and inclusion for LGBTQ plus people, for people of color, for women, for immigrants. And, you know, I really wanted a way to create a more kind and inclusive world. And I didn't know what to do as a first step. So contributing to this book project for me is a way of, you know, raising awareness of, you know, the importance of being able to work with people across difference or being able to speak up on topics that really matter to us in a way that's respectful of difference. But also there are some certain topics where we have to take a stand and say, like, this is a line I'm going to draw, you know, like, it's not okay with me if you are racist or homophobic, like, you're not my people if that's how you're going to be in the world. So that's one of the reasons why this new project is so important to me.
Ah, me luck indeed, me luck indeed. Yeah, because it really sucks that it's gotten to that point now with politics where folks will just end relationships, like friendships, even like marriages over like politics. And it's like, dude, like if your person didn't win, it's like, hey, like you could still be cool with each other. Like you don't have to like abandon folks, especially if they still have mostly the same values that align with you. It's like, dude, we can still get along here. Like you don't have to like put a burning cross in someone's house here. Like, come on now. It doesn't have to be that bad.
Yeah, it is definitely a tough situation. And I have had relationships that have been difficult because of differences, but how do you get back to the places of agreement and how can you value a person just for being human?
Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing. We're all human here. Like, hey, we all have value here. And we all need to just bring value to each other in a good way. Cause hey, we all got value at the default for just being alive and just being a fellow human. Like, hey, we all bleed the same color here. Like, come on, y'all. Let's get the main thing here.
Yeah. So hopefully the book will make a difference in giving people some tools to figure out how to talk to people with whom they might disagree, you know, how to take a stand for what they believe in, how to have a positive impact and encourage others, inspire others. So, yeah, that's the project. And I have some two amazing co-authors, actually. They're the ones who wrote the book. I'm adding some stories at the end and advising them on the publishing process and, you know, helping them to get the book out into the world.
Ah, me like indeed. Might have to have them on the show.
All right. They might enjoy that.
Ah, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And if I'm not mistaken, you're a fellow Christian, too, because your husband's a pastor, right?
Oh, not at the moment, no. My husband was a pastor way a long time ago, back in the year 2002 is when he stopped being in ministry. But sure, faith is an important part of our journey, of my life.
And here's a funny one for you, Dom. My husband left the ministry, works in law enforcement now, and he always says that he had to leave ministry because he needed a job with a little less stress.
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
So there you go. Now, talk about a long time ago. We were talking about how 2012 feels like, you know, just last year. 2002 was a long time ago.
Oh, you got that right, because a kid born that year, the drinking age now.
older than drinking age. Our oldest kid was born in 2001, so... Yeah, it's a long time.
That's insane. I know ministry can be stressful, but dang. I got a friend who's an officer and a preacher, so double the work.
Oh, wow. Yeah, for sure.
Good times indeed. Good times indeed. So how'd you become a Christian, Becky? And how does it play a role in your business and your life today?
Well, that is an excellent question. So I was raised in a Christian family, although my parents divorced when I was about 8. And so I grew up going to church, you know, going to vacation Bible school. I had my grandparents were the kind of grandparents who are always praying for you. And it was when I was about 8 years old that I was staying with my grandparents during the time that my parents were divorcing, and I went to vacation Bible school. And that was the time that I heard at vacation Bible school that Jesus was knocking on the door of my heart and wanting to have a relationship with me. And so it was at that time that I prayed to invite Christ in my life and to turn my life over to God and to give my life to Him. And what role has being a Christian played in my business? So one thing that's a little bit tricky, I think, at times is that I'm not building a Christian business, even though I am a Christian. So, you know, I don't have all Christian clients. I don't have all Christian employees. And so what I'm trying to do instead is to build a value-centered business. I identified some core values for my business, and some of them are tied to my faith. But they're also values that, you know, anyone can understand and implement or live out. So one of the things I try to do, Dom, is trust God to provide for my business. So I'm the primary biz dev person. And sometimes, you know, what's needed in terms of revenue to sustain my team can feel a little bit overwhelming. And it's like a daily kind of surrendering and trust and faith in God to provide the right work at the right time and to give me wisdom for my decisions. I have a friend, a Bible teacher and Bible study author named Barb Bruce. She's amazing. You should have her on your show.
Sweet.
And in one of her email newsletters, she had this phrase, "God is with me and He will take care of this." And I wrote that on the whiteboard in my office. And it's on the same whiteboard where we have our revenue numbers, like what we still need to sell to meet our needs for the month. And I just have to repeat that and remind myself each time, like, that God is with me, that He will take care of this, and trust Him to provide, you know, what I need each day and each week and each month. And one of the core values that I set for my business in the beginning was the value of generosity, because I believe so wholeheartedly that if we give away to others, that we see a return. And so I'm always wanting to be as generous as I can with my time, with my energy, with my encouragement, with my resources. And I've never found that I've given away more than what comes back to me. So that value of generosity informs everything that I do. And that value of generosity is something that I learned from the Bible. So there's some of how my faith inspires my business life. And, you know, I don't necessarily like shout it from the rooftops that I'm a believer in Jesus, especially like I have found as a Christ follower that I've had some challenges with certain ways that Christians are acting in our society today, back to that conversation on politics. So, you know, I'm definitely drawn more now toward churches that are more inclusive and welcoming And so that's something that I'm still seeking to navigate, but the foundational faith of my life has remained unchanged.
Sweet. So I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. That's right. God will provide indeed. That's right indeed. Yeah, that's right indeed. Yeah, besides, I always encourage fellow Christians to share the testimony of how they became one. It's like, hey, because most times folks don't get the opportunity if they don't volunteer or folks don't ask. And yeah, I know it can be a little weird these days with some of the folks in the Christ fan club not acting like them.
Yes.
It's like, yep. The good Lord Christ, he is cool. I love him. It's just the fan club. It's like, ah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of some things that are happening in our world today in the name of Christ.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But the good news is we still got some bright lights in the freaking world, and you're one of them. You'll love to see it, indeed.
Thank you.
There we go. Hashtag bright Becky. So my goodness, since you've been on so many interviews as a guest and rocked so many interviews as a host, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the game?
Huh, that's a really good question. I'm always happy to share whatever will add value for the audience of the host who's invited me on. So if there's a particular pain point or interest area that you as a host have, Dom, the question I'd want to be asked is anything that can provide value to your listeners. You know, of course, there's things I like to talk about. I like to talk about running. You already asked me about that. And you asked me some really great questions about my journey as a business owner. You know, I always like any kind of question that allows me to shout out my amazing team, or any question that allows me to talk about the importance of people and relationships along the journey, because it's really all about them. So no specific question that I like to be asked, but Dom, if there's anything that we've missed that you think that your listeners would want to know, I'm happy to answer.
Good times indeed. Good times indeed. Well, since you like to shout out amazing folks, I'm sure you got some amazing folks that work for in your wonderful company. So has there been a lesson learned from one of your employees that helped you to up your game as a founder and CEO?
Yes, and this is a story I love to tell, Dom. Thank you. You know, I think you asked me earlier about longevity, and one of the most satisfying things for me is having employees who choose to work with me over a long period of time. So I have one contractor in my company who has been with me from the very beginning. I have an employee who's been with me 12 years. She's been with me like really nearly from the start of the company too. So I'm going to tell you a story about my friend and colleague, Aubrey. And a situation with Aubrey helped me to raise my game as a business leader. So Aubrey had been working with my company maybe like a year and a half. And she came to me one day. This is back in the day when we always were in the office working. And now I work at home most of the time. But Aubrey came to me and she told me that she had been recruited by another agency in town. And that unfortunately, even though she loved working with me, this other agency provided health insurance and slightly more compensation. And so she was going to leave our team to go and work for this other agency. And I got to tell you, Dom, I of course want to try to be professional at all times. But in that moment, I was overtaken by emotion and I cried about that because I valued Aubrey so deeply. And, you know, right away after she left the company, I went to the woman who's now the COO of my company. At the time, I think she was a VP of operations or maybe even just director of operations. I'm not really sure. And what I realized was if I wanted to be able to keep employees over a long period of time, I needed to up-level our compensation and also our benefits because, you know, people need health insurance and I had not been providing it up until that time. So Aubrey inspired us to work as a company and figure out how do we work our budget so that we can offer health insurance as an important offering so that we could attract and retain talent. And so we got our health insurance situation up and running. About maybe 6 months after Aubrey left our company, Amy, my colleague, and I took her out for lunch. We figured out that the grass wasn't greener on the other side at the other agency that hired Aubrey away. So we offered to bring her back now that we do have insurance and were able to match the compensation that she received at the other company. And she came back. And now when we talk about how long Aubrey's been in the company, we say 8 years and we ignore those few months, 9 months or whatever that she worked at the other agency. A cool like side note to that is back in 2020, Aubrey and her fiance at the time had planned this destination wedding to Italy. And we all know what happened to travel to Italy in 2020. It wasn't possible. And I happen to live on in a home. We have 5 acres of land. And so when Aubrey couldn't go to Italy, I offered to host a backyard wedding for her. And my oldest kid and I did the catering. It was very low key. You know, she bought a cake. We got, you know, wine and sodas and made some hors d'oeuvres and things like that and hosted, you know, her tiny little reception with close family, only like maybe 15 people on our deck. And she got married in a grove of trees on the side of my property. I can actually see it from where I'm sitting right now. And like, what's more meaningful than that? Like when your colleagues can become your friends and when you can have those relationships over the long haul. So that's a favorite kind of story. And, you know, if I hadn't started a business, I would have never met Aubrey. I would have never had the chance to build a lasting relationship. And, you know, what I hope for anyone who works with me and my company is that it makes their life better. You know, work, we spend so much time at work. And so you want to work with people who value you. You want to work with people who care about you as an individual. You want to work with people who, you know, you can share your real self with, whether you're having a good day or having a bad day, and you know that they have your back. And of course, we want to do good work for our clients, but it's that connectedness as a team and as an organization that matters most. And that's what allows us to serve our clients well.
Uh-huh. Well, indeed. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right. Yeah, she got an extra invisible compensation package that she didn't know she was going to get down the road when she signed back with the company. You'll love to see it. Mm-hmm. Good times indeed. Good times indeed. Yep, because it can be competitive out here. It's like, yep, it's going to be definitely competitive out here. Folks want stuff and need stuff because world is not nice to folks out here. And Becky's like, nope, we got up our game here. It's like, nope, I'm tired. We are not losing another future Hall of Fame employee here. Nope, we're not doing it. We're changing the game here. That's right. That's right indeed. Well, two more questions that I'll let you make a run for it. The first one's a silly question I like to ask folks, and that is about your magical book, Reach. Create the biggest possible audience for your message, book, or cause. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh my goodness, that is such a silly question. I think it'd be ice cream because, you know, when I think about what does everybody want, everybody wants ice cream. When you think about building a thought leadership brand or making a difference in the world, what everyone wants is reach. So if my book were a food, it would be ice cream. Everybody wants it. Reach, not my book.
Yeah, they're going to scream for it. Who am I kidding? They already screamed for it. They reached out for it. That's right, y'all.
I hope you like ice cream, Dom.
Ice cream is freaking great. Rocky Road, French vanilla. Yeah, good times. Good times indeed. That's right. It's the whole tub, y'all. That's right.
Yeah, I like to eat it out of the pint with a fork.
See, there you go. And the good news is you're far from done. Well, coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you'd wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh, man, that is such a good question. I would encourage myself to live by my values every day and to not lose sight of them, even during hard times.
Yeah, hard times indeed. When the boulders show up, she's like, nope, generosity's still a thing, y'all.
Yes.
Ah, yeah, that's right indeed. Value your values, y'all. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, the good news is folks only got a taste of what you have to offer because you got a load more of content and expertise and brilliance within you. So for those who need to dive in more into your wonderful content and keep up with your journey and cop some copies of your magical book, what's the best way for folks to do so, Becky?
Sure. So my company is at weavinginfluence.com, and you'll find lots of resources and content, including our podcast episodes and more at weavinginfluence.com. If you're interested in my journey as an entrepreneur, I also have an author website at beckyrobinson.com, and I've got some blog posts there that are more on my entrepreneurial journey, as well as a free ebook download about my running journey where I compare my lessons in business to my lessons in running. Or maybe it's the lessons I've learned about business from running. That's a free download at beckyrobinson.com. As far as my book, it's available through all online retailers, including, you know, the one I don't want to name. But if there's anyone listening to the show today and you don't have the means to buy my book from an online retailer, you can feel free to email me, becky@weavinginfluence.com. And if you're in the United States, I'd be happy to send you a free signed copy of my book. Or if you're outside the US, I can send you a PDF copy. So I never want resources to be a barrier. If you're listening to the show today and for some reason you don't have the $15 to spend on my book, just let me know and I'll get it over to you.
Now you'll love to see it, indeed. You'll love to see it, indeed. Sir, that right, folks. Becky's got you covered like a blanket. That's right, indeed. Two blankets since it's the wintertime.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of snow on the ground today here in Michigan, so I'm staying inside to stay warm. Definitely need the two blankets.
Yeah, you got the real snow out there. So yeah, she upped the ante, y'all. Three blankets. She's got you covered like three. The three amigos, the three blankets, y'all. It's extra chilly outside, y'all. She's got you covered, so check out all of her wonderful wares. Indeed, she has that generous offer for a free book for you, no matter where you are, whether it's international PDF or US of A, you get a free freaking book and reach it out, indeed. So check out her wonderful wares. She's got you covered, indeed. And be sure to subscribe to her podcast as well, because she's got a gang of wonderful content there, indeed. It's freaking awesome. And season 7, right? It's coming up soon?
Nah, 6.
Oh, 6. Okay, cool.
Well, you know what? I don't know. We just did a bonus season. We had 3 episodes that came out in January, and that was just like a little bonus extra. But I think we're about to start season 6. And it might be the final season. So you definitely have to tune in to all the archives, because we might either start a different kind of show or just hang up our hats at the end of this season. You heard it here first.
Oh. No. Well, hopefully it's one of them retirement tours where she's just like, you know what? I'm having too much fun. Let's do another farewell tour like a rock band, y'all. Another season's coming.
We'll see.
Well, all in all, it'll all be in the show notes. That way you can keep up with it, because she's still just getting started. She's got a lot more to contribute, a lot more value to add, a lot more people to help, indeed. And you definitely need to latch on and see what's happening, because it's good stuff indeed. Well, Betty, parting words before we close up shop, Becky?
Well, here's what I would say, Dom. You know, sometimes people are unsure about showing up in online spaces with the value that they have to share with the world, but I always encourage you to do so, because when you show up online to add value to others, you create the biggest possible opportunity to make a difference with the world. So keep showing up.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for 3. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.